This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And here on the final Saturday of September, along with David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mines, and we say good morning. 5 weeks of high school football in the books, David. And
it's over halfway over.
It is, and it was another wild night, especially in that South Central Conference.
South Central and Sangamo both similar this year as far as the craziness goes.
And every single week, it seems that basically half the games in each of these leagues have just been off the charts.
That's right. Nacomas got on the board last night, too.
After a tough overtime defeat the week before. Bunker Hills 5-0.
Did they win last night?
They won.
I was looking for their score update.
North Max 5-0.
Painis 5-0.
Painis 5-0. Hillsboro now 4-1. And then Greenville
1-4.
1-4. How about
that? Heading into Pena, too. Or heading into a game against Pena. So they got to win out, and that's going to be tough.
That's right. We'll be talking to Toppers head coach Aaron Duff as they picked up their fourth win last night. Litchfield improved to 3-2 on the year. We'll be talking to Pat Rentz coming up later in the hour as well. And coming up in moments, we're going to catch up with the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday, as they picked up a win last night.
Yeah. Let's go over some of those scores from last night's game. Let's start in the South Central Conference. As we mentioned, Litchfield got the win over Vandalia at home on their homecoming night by a score of 12-7, and if you weren't at the game, it was quite the affair as Reese Radke, the linebacker for the Purple Panthers, stopped Vandalia on the Litchfield 6-yard line, keeping them from getting into the end zone for the win. So Litchfield 3-2 on the season now. Vandalia falls to 2-3. Hillsboro, a game you heard on 105.3 WAOX last night, they defeat Gillespie by a score of 26-12. So Hillsboro improves to 4-1. Gillespie falls to 2-3. Both teams well alive in the postseason chase so far. Carlinville on the season, they win last night 59-12 over Staunton. So Carlinville back over 500. They're 3-2. Staunton, meanwhile, falls to 0-5, and they are officially eliminated from the postseason. Roxana last night defeated Greenville 49-36. So Roxana back over 500 after an 0-2 start. And Greenville 1-4 on the season, as we mentioned, heading into Pena.
And you mentioned the Carlinville win last night over Staunton, 59-12. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, always nice to get back on the winning track, and we talk about it all the time. Nothing easy in the South Central Conference, and lo and behold, early in that ball game last night, it's a 14-12 score.
Yeah, as we talked last week, you know, they're getting better, and we were kind of joking around but about not getting better this week. But, you know, they came out, and we had some miscues, and they took advantage of those things. And, you know, before we knew it, we were in a ball game at 14-12.
Chad, at the high school level, is basically focus the biggest thing you deal with on a day-to-day basis with your kids?
Yeah, I think by this time in the season, we're trying to cut down the mental mistakes, and I mean, you've really got everything installed that you're going to have installed for the season, roughly, without, and you know, just trying not to make those dumb mistakes or those tired mistakes or something like that. So, you know, and we made a few of those last night, and hopefully, and been recovered from them.
Guys are now 3-2 on the year, and I know a couple of losses that you probably weren't expecting at this point in the season. However, playing in the league you play in, everything that you guys want is really still attainable for you.
Yeah, you know, we had some injuries early on, and that kind of shell-shocked us a little bit, but you're exactly correct. In the conference that we play in, it seems to be a crapshoot every week. So we're sitting at 3-2, and we got, you know, a tough road ahead of us looking at who won and who lost, and you never know who's going to be on top or whose time is coming that week.
And you hit the road next week. It's a never-ending train in the South Central Conference, and you're going to get a Gillespie team that I know there's a lot of familiarity with for several different reasons.
Yeah, we got to go down there next week. You know, it's homecoming for them. It'll be a great atmosphere. There'll be tons of people there. So, you know, it'll be definitely cool for the kids.
You going to be able to keep Coach Borgini in line?
You know, that's... Somebody asked me that last night already, and I'm like, you know, he had a great experience down there. I think he's happy to be back at Carnival, just volunteer coaching. So, you know, I don't know. I think some people view it as bad. Other people view it different ways. So it'll be fine.
It will be a lot of fun. There's no doubt about it. We'll have the game on WSMI FM 106 next week. And, Chad, you mentioned the injuries early in the season. How are the injuries progressing here as the season passes the midway point?
Well, you know, Adam Walton broke his collarbone week one. Hopefully he'll be back here shortly. He was back at the orthopedic this week, so and had some great news. It's healing properly. So, you know, hopefully he'll start throwing a football here and be back in the next couple of weeks. Unfortunately, Brody Long tore his ACL, and he's out for the season. So, I mean, that was a pretty good blow for a senior leader. He played on both sides of the ball. But other than that, we've had some injuries, just little tweaks here and there. We're slowly getting healthy again. So, you know, we're hopefully back to full strength by in a couple weeks.
Chet, how tough is it for you to see a senior who's put so much in the program have that happen to him his senior year?
It's terrible. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. You know, Brody did a tremendous amount of work in the off season. He has, you know, never missed a weight room, never missed anything, has aspirations of playing college football, and it was just time for it to go. It was not like it was a hit of some magnitude. He was just pulling on a play, and it got kind of tweaked a little bit, and that happens in football. Actually, it happens in every sport. So I've seen it happen in basketball, too, but whatever. But, you know, I feel bad for him.
Chad, you guys are off to a 3-2 start, big road test next week at Gillespie. We look forward to your time as always, sir, and best of luck.
All right, thanks, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, and that will be an interesting game, to say the least, next week, Carlinville at Gillespie. And, of course, the Miners coming off of a loss last night at Hillsborough. That's a game Gillespie led 12-0, and then Hillsborough kind of slowly took over, especially in that second half last night.
Is there some history there between those two teams, Carlinville, Gillespie? Is there history?
There's probably a little history.
Maybe.
There's a little history.
Maybe just a
you
little
know,
bit.
You start looking around. There's, when you've been in a conference as long as a lot of these teams in the South Central have,
yeah,
there's history with a lot of teams. Staunton and Gillespie have history. Carlinville and Gillespie have history. Carlinville and Staunton have history. I guess Litchfield and Staunton have a history. We know about Litchfield and Hillsborough. Greenville and Pena don't like each other. Greenville and Vandalia don't like each other.
I think Pena has history with just about everybody in the
conference. I think everybody has history with just about everybody. And you know what? Yeah. That's what
they
makes
know
it,
each other too well.
So it makes it so great.
Because
it is. And you're exactly right. They know each other so well. Because closed conference. So for all these years, there's no out-of-conference games.
Yeah. I wonder if, and this is me speculating again, I wonder if there had ever been any thought to maybe expanding the conference, maybe adding a couple teams and going back to division play. Obviously, I don't think they want East Alton Wood River and Alton Marquette back, but maybe just expanding it to a couple of other teams.
I have no idea.
And going back to division play. Because I liked it when it was division play, and you also got to have those non-conference games. You could schedule whoever you would want for three or four games a season.
I mean, you know, it's to each their own. I love the way it is now. I love the idea of a closed conference to where every single week there's absolute significance. You know, there's you can't really afford to have a slip.
Yeah.
You need to bring your A game every single week, and if you don't, you might run into trouble.
But at the same time, I mean, sometimes it really hampers teams going into the postseason, good teams going into the postseason, because they haven't really been, like, a down year for the conference. They haven't been able to prepare themselves best. I mean, you could look at Greenville last year. Greenville, they were obviously 4A last year, and they ran into a very good Bloomington Central Catholic team, but maybe had they had a stronger non-conference schedule or a non-conference schedule at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, they got to the Final Four, like, four straight years.
They did.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. And, you know, it works better. It works good for some teams, some conferences, and works better for other conferences to do it the other way. But I think for the South Central, that works fantastic, having it to be a closed conference. And I think that's what the Sangamo is working towards.
It's going to be probably next year.
Yeah.
Because they're adding Muro Forsyth. I don't think they're losing anybody. So that'll give them 10 teams.
And it benefits the conference because you know that if you get to 5 wins, you're probably going to make the postseason.
How's that conference going to be next year with Moreau in it? Man,
you
thought Williamsville was dominating the conference. Whew. Not to say Moreau is going to dominate every year, but, I mean, it's going to make it that much more top-heavy.
Hey, unless you're SHG or Rochester, nobody's dominating every year.
Yeah. That SHG game last night.
Put up 70 in the 70. First half.
They didn't score in the second half.
That's good.
So they let up in the second half.
Yeah, that's called calling the dogs off.
Yeah, 70-0.
Whew. That's a score.
They only got to play half a game last week, too, because of the Lightning. So they just called it. Well, they were up 49-0, so. But, yeah.
They just keep on rolling.
That's right.
It is currently 67 degrees. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff. We've also got Litchfield head coach Pat Rince on the way here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We will have Fighting Illini football for you this afternoon, hosting Mid-Tennessee State. They should win that live at 2 here on FM 106. Back with David Jenkins, Tim Mize here. And David, I made an assumption earlier, and we all know what happens when you make assumptions.
Yeah.
You evidently wind up, or inevitably, I should say, wind up being wrong. So as I facepalm myself and insert my foot into my mouth.
Yes.
Bunker Hill is not 5.
Bunker Hill's own Tim Mize made a mistake.
Alas.
Mount Olive defeated Bunker Hill last night. The worst part about it was you shorted the Mount Olive people.
I did. So it was not intentional.
You owe them an apology.
I do. And I do apologize.
Mount Olive is 2.
But in my fairness, I'm just an idiot. So,
well,
what are you going to do?
Not much you can do.
It's the first mistake I made in the 9 o'clock hour.
Hey. Will it be the last?
No.
We'll find out. Stay tuned. Yes, Mount Olive did defeat Bunker Hill last night, 30-22. So Mount Olive on this season, they improve to 2-3 and 2-1 in the Prairie State Conference. Bunker Hill now 4-1 overall in the season, 2-1 in the Prairie State. Bunker Hill now falls into second place in the Prairie State behind Pawnee, who is 4-1, 3-0 in the conference. And Pawnee won against South Fork yesterday, 44-12. So Pawnee off to a good season, off to a good start yet again. Look to be the favorites in the Prairie State.
I was just going to say that exact same thing.
Yeah. Good to see also in the Prairie State, as we mentioned, Nokomis got on the board last night. They defeated Metro East Lutheran 35-20, jumped out to a 35-0 lead. Metro East, I guess you could say they tried to make a comeback there, just it fell short. Nokomis wins 35-20, so Nokomis now 1-4 on the season, 1-2 in the Prairie State Conference. Metro East Lutheran 0-5, 0-3 in the Prairie State Conference. Yeah.
So that's the Prairie State look.
Sangamo Conference. We've gotten two Sangamo Conference games this season, including one that you heard last night on WSMI FM 106.1. Quite the game. Pleasant Plains at North Mac and the Panthers of North Mac. They won 28-14, so North Mac 5-0 in the season. They jumped out to a 21-0 lead. We thought it might end up being a rout, but of course that Pleasant Plains offense way too good. They did make a comeback to pull within 7 at 21-14. North Mac got a late touchdown, and that was the final. So North Mac 5-0 on the season overall, 5-0 in the Sangamo Conference. Pleasant Plains falls to 3-2. They are 3-1 in the Sangamo Conference.
And we'll be talking to North Mac head coach Shane Owsley coming up here a little bit in Sports Saturday.
Yep. Auburn back in the win column as well. They win 44-6 over Riverton, so they are now 2-3 on the season and 2-3 in the Sangamo Conference. Riverton 1-4 overall and in the Sangamo Conference. The woes for Williamsville continue as they fall to 2-3 after losing to New Berlin last night, 31-28. Now the Bullets of Williamsville attempted to tie the game in a field goal late, and I think it was as time was expiring, and the field goal was blocked, and that clinched the win for New Berlin. So New Berlin now 4-1 on the season and 4-1 in the Sangamo Conference. They leapfrog Pleasant Plains based on percentage points right now. So they're 4-1. Williamsville now 2-3 overall, 1-3 in the Sangamo Conference. Pittsfield last night, they defeated Porta. It was the battle of the unbeatens by a score of 55-29. So Pittsfield now 1-4 on the season, 1-3 in the conference. Porta 0-5 now, 0-4 in the Sangamo Conference. And there was one non-conference game in Sangamo, Athens at Leroy. And Leroy won that one 28-14. So Athens now is 4-1 on the season and 3-1 in the Sangamo Conference. So 3-1 tied with Pleasant Plains for third place in the Sangamo. North Mac, of course, on top of the Sangamo Conference, followed by New Berlin and Pleasant Plains and Athens tied for third. In the WIVC South Conference, Greenfield Northwestern got the win over North Green. They won that one 40-12. So Greenfield Northwestern now 3-2 on the season, 2-1 in the conference. North Green falls to 1-4. They are 0-3 in the WIVC South. Carrollton over Pleasant Hill 55-20. That was a game at one point. It was 20-12 Carrollton was leading, but apparently all Carrollton from there 55-20. So Carrollton 4-1, 3-0 in the WIVC. Pleasant Hill 1-4 and 1-2 in the conference. And West Central over Calhoun last night, 42-6. So a rout for West Central over Calhoun. West Central's 4-1, 2-1 in the WIVC South. Calhoun now 3-2, 1-2 in the WIVC South. In the WIVC North, Jacksonville route over Beardstown 27-6. So route their first win of the season. They're 1-4 and 1-2 in the conference. Beardstown now 0-5 and 0-3 in the conference. Minden Unity beat Camp Point Central 35-20. Minden Unity now 3-2 and 2-1 in the conference. Camp Point Central 2-3 overall, 1-2 in the conference. And Brown County over Triopia 20-16. Brown County a perfect 5-0 in the season. And 3-0 in the WIVC North. Triopia 3-2 and 2-1 in the WIVC North. And those are all the scores I have for you.
All right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch back up with Terry Tote. He is at the Benelled Fall Fest. We will have that as we continue with WSMI Sports Saturday here on FM 106. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Tim Mize along with David Jenkins. And last night, the North Mac Panthers in a game heard on FM 106 kept the undefeated season alive as they picked up the victory over Pleasant Plains last night. And joining us on the phone right now is North Mac's head coach, Shane Owsley. And Shane, once again, thank you for a few minutes of your time on what I guess is a victory Saturday for North Mac. Always very nice.
It is very good. It was for a homecoming game, and again, that makes it a little extra special. And just the fact that our guys were able to get to that big, important, you know, five-win mark is very, very big and exciting for us.
Coach, talk about how you were able to limit Jacob Cronister, the Pleasant Plains quarterback, as he's had a pretty good season, but you really gave him fits last night.
Well, I think we did a couple things that I don't think that, at least on film, that we had seen them deal with. And number one was we had a very, very good pass rush last night. We got some pressure on him. He's not a real tall kid. He's probably 5'6", 5'7". You know, we've got a D-tackle or a couple D-tackles that are 6'4", 6'5", and with your hands up, it makes it pretty difficult for a kid of that size to throw. And the other thing, as we watched film, we noticed that every team that they had played against was, you know, essentially running zone coverages. So those really quick receivers they had were running in open space and settling and then trying to find somebody that could tackle them with some kind of issue. So we kind of got in their face, played physical, played man, and just kind of dared them to throw over the top. And, you know, our coach's thoughts were it's much harder to complete a pass 20 yards down the field than it is 5 and let them run for the next 25. So I thought our defense played very, very well last night.
And, Shane, you guys do have size up front. And at the nuts and bolts of football, blocking, tackling, if you've got big boys up front that can control the line of scrimmage, boy, does that really put you a couple steps ahead of the competition.
Well, that's something that we've been trying to sell all summer long is just the importance. For some reason, somewhere down the road, it was like we were degrading kids by making them offensive and defensive linemen. And as a former running back myself, I made sure I specified that being a running back is not much fun if you don't have those guys in front of you. So, you know, it's been a promotion more so than being downgraded. Those guys have been held to a very, very high standard. We've made sure that all of our players that are interviewed, which happen to be skill guys most of the time, thank the offensive lineman and the defensive lineman for their job, or they get a little extra conditioning. So we kind of know where our bread's buttered, and we know the importance of those guys.
Coach, Brennan White gets a lot of the press because he's the starting quarterback, but Asa Donaldson has had a great season so far. Last night he made a key play as Pleasant Plains was driving, intercepted a pass in the end zone. Talk about the season that your junior player is having for you.
Ace is just an amazing athlete. Everything that kid does, he's good at. You know, whether it's on the basketball court or if it's in the baseball field, whatever it is, he's a natural athlete. And we've been very, very fortunate. He came up with two interceptions, I believe, last night. I believe last week he broke the 100-yard rushing mark. He was our top receiver last night. He's just a good athlete. He's got really, really good size, and he's hard to tackle in space. So he's somebody that we're definitely going to look to in the future as being one of our leaders.
And I guess, Shane, now that you guys are 5-0, the mantra, I imagine, is going to be exactly the same. Don't look too far ahead.
Exactly. And that's something that, again, that we were just preaching this morning, that in the conference that we are in, you know, any team can beat anybody on that given Friday night. That's something that we keep talking about. We're very, very happy with where we're at 5-0, but we're not satisfied, if that makes sense. So our goal wasn't to get 5 wins and squeak into the playoffs. And now that we are at 5-0, we were just talking to the kids, there's absolutely no sense why we stop now and just go ahead and take care of the next 4 and see where we land from there.
What was the vibe like last night on the field after the game?
Well, I was actually, that was probably the most exciting part of the game was that, you know, we won the game, we beat a very high-quality opponent, and there was almost a sense of disappointment in our players because they know they didn't play as well as they, you know, they were capable. We came out and we had a 21-0 lead, and at that point you start to wonder, you know, this is going pretty well, could we put a running clock on these guys? And then Plains fought back and came back and made it a game to the point where we were only up 7 and things weren't looking really good. So that tells me a lot about our kids and just an attitude change that we have. They were not satisfied with the victory. I mean, obviously they were happy that that's how it turned out, but they knew they could have played better, and that tells me we may have some more good things to come.
Coach, you go into Athens next week. Historically, Athens a very good defensive team. What are some of the things you're going to have to do to get by them?
Well, I think a couple things we're going to have to clear up front. Obviously, Plains did some things last night that we weren't accustomed to, and we were just not staying with our blocks. We focus so much on making sure that our linemen are getting up to the second level, getting up to the linebacker, that I think maybe we may be pulling off of the, you know, the first line of defense too early. So we're going to, you know, stress that, make sure we're taking care of the point of attack and taking care of that. And, you know, we'll take our 3 yards a pop, and if we bust one, that's great. But we need to make sure we're focusing on getting those 3 yards rather than going for a going for the touchdown every single play.
Shane, you mentioned how your kids were almost a little maybe disappointed after the win last night. And as a coach, that has to make you happy, because you always hear the old saying, you can learn more from a loss. But it's always nice whenever the kids can take to heart maybe a lesson after a win. That's better.
Exactly. I mean, we've had that the past 2 weeks. You know, we were fortunate enough to beat Auburn last week, and the kids were, you know, that's a program that we have never defeated before in the varsity level. And again, they were excited. It was an overtime win, but they also realized, hey, we didn't play very well. And we've got the saying around here, you know, we're either getting better or we're getting worse, because there's no staying the same here. And, you know, we've taken a couple steps back the past couple weeks, so we need to get things back on track and just find out how well we really can play, because I don't think we've quite hit our potential yet.
That's very good to hear. Shane, congratulations on the nice start. Good luck next week, and we look forward to talking to you in the future, sir.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, off to a 5-0 start. And, David, when you've got the talent up front like North Mac does, dangerous.
And the kids are buying in. That makes it even better. I mean, that off to fantastic. Who would have thought? Obviously, outside of North Mac, who would have thought the Panthers would be 5-0 and in the driver's seat for, you know, a perfect season at this point.
You just never know.
Yeah.
Every year, week to week, you just never know what's going to happen. And North Mac, it's fun to see off to a great start, 5-0 under first-year head coach Shane Owsley. Nokomis picked up their first win of the night, or of the week, of the season.
Season.
Last night.
It was also their first win of the night and first win of the week, too. So, I mean, it still all counts. But yeah, Nokomis, they win last night. They defeat Metro East Lutheran 35-20. They're still alive technically in the postseason race. They've got to win out, and the playoff points that's going to be key to them getting in or not in the postseason at this point. And that's why you schedule the two non-conference opponents rather at the start of the season that they did. That's where the loss to Monticello and the loss to Seneca really paid dividends, because even though they were losses, those count huge towards the playoff points. And Monticello lost a good game to St. Joseph Ogden last night. So Nokomis at this point got to win 5 games and get to the playoffs. They're 1-4 now on the season, have to win out, and then have to hope that those playoff points help them get into the postseason. We'll go over some more of your scores right now for you. Just to recap, we mentioned two before, but let's go over them again. Nokomis again, 35-20 win over Metro East Lutheran. Mount Olive defeated Bunker Hill 30-22. So Mount Olive, 2 wins for first-year head coach Bill Jones over with the Wildcats. Bunker Hill falls to 4-1 on the season. Their playoff hopes very much alive still, 2-1 on the season. Pawnee now, 4-1 overall, 3-0 in the Prairie State Conference, as Pawnee won 44-12 over South Fork.
And joining us on the phone, I had the pot open.
Yeah.
Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of Nokomis, Gabe Cesaretti. Gabe, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, and got your first win of the week, or the season, last night, but it was the week before that overtime loss. So talk about how your kids spent this last week getting ready.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Last week, I mean, it was a tough one for us. You know, our kids battled and we knew we wanted that one bad, and it was kind of a heartbreaker. And you know, we were bummed. I mean, they got right back to it this week of practice, had a good week, and came out last night strong, and you know, did the job we expected them to do.
Obviously, the message has probably been, let's finish strong to go out with this season. I'm not eliminating you guys by any stretch of the means, but still, got to stay positive and got to finish strong the rest of the season after a tough start.
Yeah, we talked about it last night and this week. It's like the only thing we can do is you know, take care of the business that we can handle. You know, we need to go off and run off a string of W's and get a lot of help. So you know, like, but you know, we can't take care of everybody else. We just got to, you know, do our job and win down the stretch here. And you know, if we get lucky, maybe we'll get in.
Gabe, it's been a different type of year for you. The numbers were down. You had some ball games early that didn't go your way, and this becomes a situation where you just find out how much the kids love football.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a bunch of kids that really like, you know, love the game. They give us everything they got, and we're really young in a lot of spots, so we're going to make mistakes. That's expected, but we are getting better. And you know, last night we wanted to finish the ball game a little better than we did, but you know, luckily that's the type of game where we're so young. And, you know, we get a lot of young guys in down the stretch when we get a big lead. And so that's what we're going to work on this week, work on finishing the ball game. And, like I said, we just got to, you know, we took a step in the right direction last night. You know, we just got to keep taking those steps every week.
Gabe Cicirelli, the head coach of Nokomis, joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And you talk about building the program. You've built the program here over the last number of years. So, in a way, it's got to kind of pain you a little bit for the seniors that have been involved in the program so much to maybe have to now switch roles and become the type of building block seniors.
Yeah, I mean, we got a great group of seniors, because, and they've been a big part of, you know, our playoff run, you know, the last however many, 4 or 5 years we've been there. And you know, you want to see better results for them. But, I mean, they're doing a great job, though. I mean, they're, you know, they're leading these young guys, because, you know, we're, at any point in time, we've got, you know, 7 or 8 sophomores in the lineup at a time. So, I mean, these seniors are stepping up and doing a great job of, you know, teaching these guys what needs to be done, and, you know, getting them in the right spot when we're not in the right spot. And so, I mean, I can't, I love these kids, and they're doing a great job, but we just, you know, we want more for them. But we're, like I said, we're going the right way now, and we just got to keep going that way.
Absolutely. And Gabe, you always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. Best of luck the rest of the way, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Gabe Cicirelli from Nokomis picked up their first win last night, and tough loss the week before overtime. And, of course, that was a game that got pushed back from Friday last week into Saturday and winds up being a tough overtime loss.
I think they went for 2 in that overtime. They tied. See, Marquette had got the ball first. They scored, got an extra point. Nokomis got the ball back. They scored, and I think they went for 2 and didn't convert on the 2-point conversion. So, obviously, Gabe putting all of his eggs in that basket, trying to go for the win.
Roll the dice, baby.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially after the previous night where you were waiting around for the lightning delay, waiting to decide. At that point, you know, you've been on the field long enough for one weekend.
Hey, if I was ever a coach, and that would be terrible because we would never win a game, but I'd be like mad, and I'd be going for it on 4th down every time. I don't need a punter. We're going
punter,
for 2
yeah.
every time. 4th and 26, we're going.
Kinda
let's
like what
go.
What the Steelers are doing. They're going for 2 with the new rules.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. 69 degrees right now. Winds out of the east at 5 miles an hour. This check of radar weather brought to you by CarQuest in Carthenville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Looking at mid-70s, slight chance of a rain shower today. We're talking in the 20% range of the chance of a shower. Cloud cover tonight. Temps will be in the low 60s. Still that 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow, upper 70s with some cloud cover. Slight chance of rain tomorrow as well. And then on Monday, we should see partly cloudy skies. High temps in the low 80s. Overnight lows will be in the 60s. Right now, the radar screen is clear. 69 degrees as winds come east at 2 miles an hour. This check of radar weather brought to you by CarQuest in Carthenville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Coming up next, we will talk to Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff. The Toppers, 4-1 on the year. Good win last night over Gillespie. Aaron Duff next on Sports Saturday. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Big win for Hillsborough last night as they defeated the Gillespie Miners by the final score of 26-12. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, Aaron Duff. And Duffy, good morning, sir. Congratulations on the win last night.
Thank you. Feels good, you know, especially after we didn't play very well the first half, had some turnovers, but we came out in the second half and got the job done.
You
mean, that was one of those. Ooh, Duffy, I don't know if you got a radio on, but if you can turn it down, I'm getting a lot of feedback right now in my ear.
I do not have a radio on.
Well, I'm not quite sure. We don't have the best connection right now. The beauty of cell phone stuff.
I want to take you off the air, and I want to call you back, because that was not enjoyable.
Pleasant.
That was not a pleasant thing. The beauty of live radio, David.
Yes.
So I want to give you a minute to talk amongst yourself. We'll have Fighting Illini football coming up 2 o'clock this afternoon on FM 106. Cardinal baseball tomorrow at 12:20 on AM 1540. And bad news for the Cardinals last night.
Yeah, not good. Not only did they lose the game last night, they lost Carlos Martinez after 7 pitches. He left with what was described as right shoulder tightness, whatever that means. He's being reevaluated today, going to have an MRI later today. Was just reading an article about it. He's very optimistic, and it seems the coaches and managers and everything are pretty optimistic about it. However, his velocity, which he has averaged at 95 miles per hour during the season, he didn't touch 93 last night. That's concerning. So Carlos Martinez, we hope that he's okay for the stretch run, and it sounds like we may have a better connection right now.
I think. Duffy, are you there?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey,
pretty good now.
Much
All
better.
All right. No one's going to lose their hearing now with that awful screeching sound. Beautiful. As we were saying, Duff, congratulations on the win last night. And 4-1, let's just start there. It has to feel very good to win 4 of your first 5 ball games.
Yeah, it feels really good and sort of amazement right now. I mean, we're happy being 4-1. We have some young kids playing. They're getting some good experience and getting older, as each game goes on. And we're just happy with where we're at right now. But, heck, every game in this conference, you never know what's going to happen. We could end up 4-5 if you don't take care of business.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, they're all going to be dogfights. And last night, you get down 12 points relatively early, but you really had to like the way that you guys responded, especially to start that third quarter with your defense.
Yes, yeah, our defense showed up that whole second half, played really well, shut down, what they wanted to do was keep sweeps that high. Like I said, our young kids are growing up. Our kids gave great effort in the second half. I was worried all week after playing really well last week against Greenville and being homecoming week that we would struggle first half, and we did a little bit. Gave them the ball and a couple turnovers.
And I don't know what the coaching staff thought at halftime, but when I looked up at the scoreboard, I thought that Hillsboro may be fortunate to just be down 12-6 at halftime. I thought Gillespie really played well in that first half.
Yeah, same exact thing. We told the kids, hey, we played fairly bad. We didn't, wasn't up to par, but 12-6, we're in the game. We got a lot left to go. Come out and take care of the football, and we'll be okay in the second half.
And I guess, Duffy, why can't Caleb Jackson get a touch on offense?
Yeah, I don't know. He touched the ball a few times and dropped it.
That's about the only thing that didn't go well for Caleb last night. Just talk about what this young man is doing on a weekly basis for you.
He's not the biggest kid. He's about 160 pounds, but he worked hard in the weight room in the off season. He only had a couple carries last year, played main receiver. He's really come in and done a good job for us. If he just has self-confidence in it, He does a really good job. He gets down. He's worked really hard, and he's been a nice addition to us, especially after losing our whole backfield from last year.
And there's the word right there, confidence. No matter the player, no matter the position, if you have confidence, you're on your way, and if you don't, you're really in trouble.
Yeah, you're going to struggle if you don't have confidence in yourself and in the guys around you. And, we're starting to get that. We're coming together more as a team every week. And, if we just keep doing that, we'll be okay.
And you mentioned earlier, Duffy, every week in this conference is a dogfight, and obviously no different next week with the Vandals coming in.
Oh, yeah. No, Hillsboro Vandelli is always a slobber knocker and a close game. Came down to the last second last year. We're expecting the same type of game.
Awesome. Duffy, great win last night. Now 4-1 on the year, and we look forward to talking to you next week, sir.
Okay, appreciate it, guys.
All right,
thank
Aaron
you.
Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, 4-1 and sole possession of second place in the South Central.
Slobber knocker, I like that.
There you go. And
never
you know what?
Heard that term before.
No, last night was a slobber knocker type of game as well. I think Caleb Jackson wound up with about 35 carries.
Did he get over 100 yards?
Oh yeah.
He hasn't been held less this season.
I can see why.
103 in the first game. That was the fewest he's had all season.
Always falling forward, dragging piles, always moving forward.
Got to teach that.
That's exactly right. Big win for Litchfield last night as well. Hillsborough's 4-1. Litchfield's 3-2.
Litchfield's 3-2. I don't even remember the last time they were over 500, but yeah, fantastic start to the season for Litchfield. Obviously, a couple years ago, they started the season 3-3. They have a potential to start out better this year, 3-2. They are home again next week. They host Roxana, who is playing really good football after getting off to an 0-2 start. So the Purple Panthers of Litchfield will try to contain the Roxana Shells and improve to 4-2 to keep their postseason hopes alive. Other games going on in the South Central Conference next week, as we mentioned, Vandalia at Hillsborough, Carlinville at Gillespie. That's a game you'll hear on our Tally broadcasting stations. We'll also have Staunton at Southwestern for you. That game will be held on 105.3 The Ox. And then Greenville at Pena, the final South Central Conference game next week. And Greenville has to win that game in order to keep the postseason hopes alive.
Litchfield's postseason hopes, they are definitely alive. The Panthers
alive.
Now 3-2, and joining us now is the head coach of Litchfield, Pat Rentz. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Doing great.
I bet you are. And I would imagine that everybody's doing great, but maybe nobody better than one Reese Ratke.
Oh, what a tackle, huh? That's a game saver. What's that?
Game saver.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big stop. That's 2 years in a row that Vandalia Litchfield has come down to the last play of the game. It felt good to come out on this end this year. So,
and Coach, I do this prep pick'em with the Journal News and with the prediction and everything. I had your two teams combining for 76 points this week based on last year almost getting 100. That didn't exactly work out.
No, it didn't. You know, and I you never know when you go into those weeks if it's going to turn into an offensive shootout or a defensive shootout. And you could tell pretty early on in the game that it was going to be a defensive battle. And you know, I think of course we left some points on the board there in the first half. We had a couple good drives and got in the red zone and turned the ball over. So that's obviously something we need to take care of and be able to punch that ball in and get points up. But man, that was an exciting game and defense was playing well and Vandalia as well. I mean, they were playing tough. So it was a fun game to be a part of.
Pat, you guys are 3-2, but it's not a stretch to say that you guys could be 5-0. A couple of untimely cramps in week one. You had a lead on Greenville midway through the third quarter, and then a 99-yard drive Gillespie puts on you late in the ball game in week two. So I mean, you guys can look at your players and say, guys, we could be 5-0.
Yeah, I think that's true. We look at those games, and of course, you'd want to be able to go back and play those again and take care of some of those things. But you know, we've also won a couple close games. Mm-hmm. So if you know, of course, those coaches are saying the same thing, man. If we go back and just you know that last play, if we get that play, you know, get that touchdown, we win the game. So you know, it's an exciting place to be where the guys know and they have the confidence that they can be competing. Every Friday they go in ready to give it everything they've got and play fight for each other. And you know, I think the coaching staff, we're feeling blessed to be a part of it and enjoy watching those guys play and give it everything they have.
Yeah, ifs and buts, they don't get it done.
No, it doesn't. Nope.
And, Pat, it seems like really the last number of years, there's been a lot of ifs and a lot of maybes and buts involved with the Litchfield program. But it really seems like since you've taken over here, there's a stability factor, and you've been able to see it building here the last number of years.
Well, you know, we got to give a lot of credit to the boys. I mean, they're the guys that go out and get the work done. And, you know, I got a great coaching staff. Coach K is doing a great job calling defense this year and got a great staff. And Coach Elvers and Coach Ripley and Coach Plummer and Coach Zippy. So, you know, it's a team effort. It really is, top to bottom, with the coaching staff and the support from the school. But I'll tell you what, our young men have been working hard. They know, and we've been telling them, we can't just hope that 1 year we get it turned around. We've got to make it happen. And it takes a lot of work, and it takes sacrifice. And they've been very coachable and allowing us to push them and challenge them at practice. And it's been an enjoyable experience. It really has.
Coach, you've got Roxana coming into Litchfield next week. Roxana obviously got off to a tough start, 0-2, playing really good football as of late, now 3-2 on the season. Talk about what you're going to have to do in order to stop their winning streak.
They're explosive offensively. They've got a lot of experience back offensively, especially in the backfield. So I think I'm looking forward to that, looking forward to our defense getting out there, and hopefully we can keep some of that momentum going. You know, this is a game where, you know, we have to win the turnover battle. You don't want to give them extra possessions. So you just have to execute, and it's going to be a tough match. But we're excited. I mean, it was a homecoming game last night. I mean, the crowd is pumped up. The boys are pumped up. The fan section, the crew, as they're called, is excited, and we're looking forward to it.
And, Pat, when you guys – I mean, so much of football is, do you have the numbers? Do you have some size up front? We're talking with Shane Owsley of North Mac earlier in the program. They've really got some big boys up front that are getting it done. And when I look at you guys walk on the field this year, you look different. You've got those big boys up front on your offense and your defensive line, and that just makes a difference.
It does. They, you know, it's kind of a coaching cliche to say that the game is won in the trenches, but it really is. I mean, if you can get some guys moving in the right direction up front, or keep them, the offense, the opponent, from moving in the right direction, I mean, you're going to have a lot of success. And we've got a good group of linemen, kind of a good mix even of some of juniors in there, that combined, you know, they're working hard. They've got good size. It's been fun, and very proud of those guys. I mean, they've put in a lot of work, and they're having fun playing tough physical football.
Can you talk a little bit about the general buzz that's going on around the football team in Litchfield, around the town in Litchfield? Because obviously you're the team in the South Central that's had the longest active playoff drought, and to be 3-2 on the season at the start, I mean, there's got to be a fantastic buzz going on around the town.
There is, and it's kind of a delicate balance. I mean, you want to be excited and happy with where you're at, but you want to stay hungry too. And I think, you know, speaking of that playoff chat, I think that's kind of where we're at. The group is hungry. The boys are hungry. But you're right. I mean, there's a positive buzz. And I, to be honest with you, I'd also have to admit that part of that is because we have preached to the team and even throughout the school kind of this row the boat message. And while, don't get me wrong, we want to get into the playoffs, mm-hmm. and that's our goal, and we want to win. But at the same time, we're trying to build a program that's really more than just wins and losses or what the scoreboard says. And I think it's something that our young men and then even the school as a whole has really kind of grabbed a hold of. And it's just, man, it's just having fun, working hard, doing things the right way, and playing for each other, not as individuals. And that's the part that has really just kind of become contagious. And we're just having a blast.
And Pat, that's all good stuff and all necessary stuff. But if you're not getting the results in the field, it's hard to keep it moving forward. So the fact you're getting the results this season, that just kind of drives that message home even more to your kids.
You are absolutely right. It's because that's been the same message that we've had for 3 years. You could even go back before that. I mean, and you try to instill those character values in the kids, but it certainly helps when they can see the success on the field. And they start to build that confidence. So you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm winning and having success on the field really kind of emphasizes and really drives that point home, too, that, hey, there's a right way to play. And when you do and when you play as a team, good things happen.
Absolutely. Pat, congratulations on the early success this season, those playoff hopes. We'll talk about it here at the radio station. You can focus on your week-to-week duties as the head football coach. We'll take care of the hype for you. How about that?
Sounds great, guys.
All right. Pat, thank you so much. We always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. And, David, it's fun to see Litchfield 5 weeks done in the season to be right in the middle of it.
Obviously, we can look ahead to it.
That's right.
Litchfield-Hillsboro could be a playoff game.
How about that,
how
huh?
About, yeah, how about that?
When's the last time? And we're, you know, we're, I think they meet
two
in week
years
eight.
Ago. There was a there. It's week. Yeah, it's week eight. 2 years ago, Litchfield was 3-4, so it was still a playoff game. And I think Hillsboro was 3-4 as well. So that was kind of a playoff game too, just 2 years ago. But outside of that, it's not been like that for a while.
South Central Conference, Pena at the top, the only undefeated team. Then you've got Hillsboro sitting there at 4-1, and then Litchfield up next in that group of 3-2 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be a heck of a finish.
Yeah, still a lot of those teams in the South Central jumbled in the middle. You got Staunton's at the bottom. Greenville's 1-4, and everybody else, and then obviously Pana's 5-0. Hillsborough's 4-1. Everyone else is 3-2 or 2-3.
Our games next week on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. We will have Carlinville at Gillespie here on FM 106. Staunton travels to Southwestern. That is our WAOX game of the week. Both games will kick off at 7. The Tailgate Show comes your way 6:30 next week on WSMI FM 106 and WAOX 105.3. The Ox. David, we've got the Fighting Illini coming up this afternoon, hosting Mid-Tennessee State.
Big live game.
At 2. Huge game.
Big rivalry game with Tennessee State.
Hey, right. They can handle those directional schools normally.
Normally.
We'll see. I got a decent amount of confidence.
Could be a North Carolina hangover.
But they lost.
I know. But still, you could have a hangover from a loss.
I guess. Only Illinois could.
They could just be so disappointed that they lose to Mid-Tennessee State.
They should be used to that.
Yeah. They could be looking ahead to Nebraska next week.
We'll see about that. Focus on Mid-Tennessee State, boys. We'll have them at 2 here on FM 106. We want to thank all of our area coaches for their time here on this Saturday morning, the last Saturday in September. 70 degrees, winds out of the east. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.